Good morning and welcome to the New Media Show. Of course, my name is Todd Cochran. I'll welcome you to today's event. We're recording on Sunday. And of course, Sunday recordings of this show always come with risk because everyone is not used to doing the interviews on Sunday. So I think it's just Rob and I this morning. Good morning, Rob. How are you?
Good morning, Todd. It's great to be here. It's a cloudy day in Seattle. But yeah, there's no guests. We, at least so far anyway, we had invited Rick from the New Media Expo to join us on the show. And as happens sometimes Sunday mornings with Sunday morning shows, people get caught up with family and things going on and then don't do things like this on Sundays. So
yeah, and even my wife gave me the sideways look yesterday. I'm like, honey, it's at 6 a.m. I'm going to be done by 7:30.
Yeah.
And having been gone all week and been off to Washington, D.C., and I got back last night, Rob. I'll be honest, and for those of you that don't have to travel multiple time zones, when you go from Hawaii, it's obviously GMT minus 10, which is 6 hours difference between here and basically New York. And So when I got back, and I didn't sleep very much the night before, I was working until like 1 o'clock in the morning, like an idiot. And then I got up at 3:30. Or four to be at the airport, and then I worked on the plane. So I got here, and by 7 o'clock last night, I told my wife, "I'm going to bed."
You're all messed up. That's all I can say.
But you know, I'd say I had the most sleep I've had in weeks. I slept from 7 in the evening until 4 in the morning, which is fantastic. 9 hours is great. But anyway, do you want to talk about my sleeping habits? Everyone, welcome to the show. Hey, I do want to start the show off by those of you that are listening right now and you haven't gotten your tickets to New Media Expo, you have a couple of days. We are going to give away, I believe on Tuesday, and it'll be before the next show, we're going to give away a ticket, a VIP ticket to the New Media Expo. So you've just got a couple of days. If you haven't bought a ticket yet and you want to go, we're going to give away a VIP pass that basically is the monster ticket. It's like $1,000 value. And really, I only want you to reply to this if you really want to go. And you know, again, Vegas is coming up fast. We're just a couple weeks away from the show. But if you want to come out and basically you've been held back because of the price of the ticket, or let's say you only bought a show pass ticket. In other words, you only bought a floor pass ticket because you couldn't afford the bigger ticket. Send an email to me at todd@newmediashow.com. And really, just all you got to do is say, I want to go to Vegas. And I'll put you in the running, and then we will inform the winner on I think, Tuesday morning, whether or not you're Wednesday morning. I think I'll let you go until Wednesday morning because that's the first. Let you know that you've won, and we'll get you connected with the New Media team and get you a free VIP ticket to the New Media Expo.
Yeah, also I want to add, I'm going to be live streaming in the Spreaker booth from the Expo. So, if you get picked for this and you're a podcaster, maybe you can join me on that live show and we can talk about it a little bit and we can talk about podcasting. So it'd be great. So, Todd, let me know and this person can have an additional perk and get their podcast some exposure.
So how long are you going to be doing live over there, Rob?
We're going to try and do about 4 hours a day.
Woo!
So,
you know how hard it is to do 4 hours, right?
Yeah. Well, I'm getting other people to host, hour blocks.
Yeah.
And there's only going to be two people at a time. So it's all going to be audio. It's not the complexity that you do with video. So,
right.
But yeah, it's just going to be a live audio stream. So I'm going to bring in a cascade of podcasters and show hosts that are going to host blocks of the time.
Okay, cool. So yeah. What's our schedule? Our schedule is up for New Media Expo. What times should folks that are coming to the event come to see us?
Well, we're doing a version of the New Media Show on April 14th from 11 to 11:45. I don't know off the top of my head what room it is, but
so that's Tuesday.
Tuesday, and it's going to be with you, me, and Rob Walsh from Libsyn.
Right.
So we're just going to talk about the state of podcasting and some numbers and the direction that the industry is going and kind of big picture stuff.
Well, I'm looking here at their schedule, and their schedule's hard to read because it goes across the page kind of weird here. I think my actual spot is on Wednesday. I need to look. I'm just like trying to be honest with you. I'm kind of lost on my own schedule, to be honest with you. Let's see if I can find, because they've got a whole bunch of stuff intermixed here. Browse by day. You used to be able, I thought you could search this by, oh my God, I have no idea how to find this. Show, isn't that horrible?
I thought that you were on Wednesday or something like that.
I think I am on Wednesday.
Yeah.
Yeah, but there we go. Yeah, loading this grid, and even, you know, on a big, oh my God, I can't read this thing. Yeah, I'll have to, and you used to be able to search this by my person's name. I think it's 11 o'clock and session by appetite. Oh my God. I wonder if I can find myself. It doesn't matter. Isn't that, you know, there's an issue when you can't look at the schedule easily, you know, here on this. I wish they would, I don't know what software they're using here, but this is horrible.
Yeah, I thought that they had a page that had a list, just a structured up and down list of all the sessions in kind of day and time order.
Yeah, maybe. So is it schedule overview? Is that the page?
Probably. Yeah, I don't have it up on my screen either.
Oh, there we go. Okay, now I found it. Yeah. So that's the one to be on, is the schedule overview page. Much easier to, and it gives you some different search criteria. And then loading speakers. Let's see, select a speaker. let's see here. Cochrane, Todd, there we go.
So I'm going to pull up the page too.
And I apologize here, folks. Wednesday. At 11:30 to 12:15. So yeah. So basically 2 days in a row, almost the same time slot. So yeah, it's definitely this is the better page to use. Let me actually bring this up on the big screen here so we can see it.
So Tuesday at 11, our session is in the Westgate Ballroom D.
And it's going to be a super session, and then there is the mine on Wednesday, but no pictures for any of us, though. Just ghosted images.
Oh, well, I mean we're not that attractive anyway, so I don't think we need that. So anyway, our session is going to be a deep dive into podcasting space in 2014-15 and beyond. The session will cover many usage metrics and other data points that can be seen in the two largest podcast hosting platforms, Libsyn and Raw Voice, maker of Blueberry, PowerPress. And the session will also cover the impact of new investment in companies moving in and growing the on-demand audio streaming and podcasting space. Lastly, the panelists will discuss major trends that will impact podcasting over the next few years. So,
and so I did keep my search results. And then my session on Wednesday is going to be Podcasters Walk Away with the State of the Podcasting Space. We'll learn the history of podcasting, gain insights from lessons learned, good, bad, and ugly, and creating 1,000 episodes. Podcasters will hear tips to keep an audience engaged over 10 years of content creation, and podcasters will view where the space is headed and be able to make informed decisions for their shows for the next 12 to 24 months. So
that's going to be just based on your experience with your own show.
Yeah, so based on my show and 10 years of being in the space and doing this.
Gotcha. Yeah. Well, that'll be a good session. You've learned a lot over the years.
Yeah, and it's a lot of stuff to cover in a very short amount of time. So leave time for questions, you know?
Yep.
And you don't know how much time to leave for questions. You don't know if you should leave 10 minutes or 15 minutes or you know, it all depends on how many people you pull. You know, if you don't have enough material and you go 30 minutes and then you have not a lot of people in the audience, you know, that's really, you know, it's definitely one of those like, okay, how are we going to do this here? And so I'm kind of going to have, I think, you know, probably my plan is originally to go about 35 minutes. So I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah, I always, you know, I've had a, you know, an interesting experience with kind of smaller groups in these sessions too. I think you can make them a lot more personal,
right?
Than the bigger sessions, which tend to be kind of like more one dimensional. So I think it's I mean, either way, it works out to be good for the panelists, I think. I mean, right. It's okay if it's a big audience, but it's okay if it's a small one too.
Yep.
So, the other big thing that happened here over the last week too around conferences was the Social Media Marketing World Conference down in San Diego, which I kept a pretty close eye on. And that's really turning out to be a pretty big podcasting conference. You know, you get Cliff Ravenscraft, you get Pat Flynn, you get John Lee Dumas, you get all these guys down there that are pumping up social media marketing in combination with podcasting. And I thought it was really, really interesting what was going on down there around their kind of rah-rah-rahness around the podcasting space. And I, you know, and you think about podcast movement and you think about what's happening there, and they are attracting a lot of new podcasters to the space. You know, it can be discussed, you know, what kind of content's there and what's driving that. But I think it's really interesting all the enthusiasm that's coming out of that particular, you know, niche or area of the podcasting space, and how much, you know, really enthusiasm that's coming from those communities, and using social media and using, you know, you know, kind of state of the art kind of technology, and they're kind of pushing the envelope on how to pull people into their programs. And I know, did you keep an eye on that at all? Or yeah, I know you were traveling through all that. You probably didn't keep up with that.
Yeah, I wasn't. You know, to be honest with you, I wasn't watching it at all. Just because I was, you know, pretty busy with meetings all last week, and some of them going in the evenings. But you know, that's kind of the same group that largely was at the podcast movement last year. So,
yeah, it is. You know, I mean, a lot of them are going to be at the, you know, the podcast expo too.
Yeah.
One thing I did see a little bit different is, you know, Norm Pattiz, the CEO of Podcast One, was a speaker down there at that. So I thought it was, you know, it's kind of this convergence of enthusiasm that's kind of permeating in the space right now in that particular side of things. And if you look at Podcast Movement, it's a pretty professional event, and it seems I mean, it seems to be really gathering traction. I think we need to really give some credit to those guys for doing a terrific job. And I think Podcast Movement's going to have, you know, it's going to be a little bit more than just podcast marketers. It's going to have, you know, that is our podcast event, really, if you think about it. It's focused solely on podcasting. So,
And, you know, I think what, I wasn't trying to disparage at all. I just, you know, mentioned that it is a different kind of a group, and it is folks that are, I guess for a better word, largely business, business slash marketing themselves slash.
Well, they're all trying to build a business for themselves and using, you know, their abilities or their talents or their knowledge to recruit other people to, you know, take their courses and learn from them. Right.
Right.
So that's kind of the whole foundation of that whole thing. And a lot of, you know, they put up a lot of slides talking about how, you know, podcasting is an opportunity to stand out, you know, and be different compared to a lot of other brands and people online, because you're doing a podcast, right? Versus just doing a blog or just having a website or just doing stuff on Facebook or Twitter.
Did they live stream the event?
They did not. No. No, I think Mr. Michael Stelzner, who is the organizer of that, I think he wants people to go there. That's understandable, because you buy tickets.
Right. Well, so did you get feedback from anyone on the event?
Yeah, I mean, I got, you know, I heard from, you know, like Mr. Daniel J. Lewis was there speaking, you know, I mean, he's very much involved in that. And he was very, really enthusiastic on Twitter and talking, you know, there was a lot of pictures shared. There was a lot of video streams using
Meerkat or Periscope.
Meerkat mainly from what I saw. Yeah, I mean, that's an interesting conversation, that whole Meerkat and Periscope thing. Twitter buys the company that nobody cares about, and then this other company is getting all the traction, and Twitter turns them off on their
right.
their social graph. So
yeah, it's pretty, pretty dirty on Twitter's part, in my opinion. But
well, it's kind of going to backfire on them, I think.
Yeah.
But anyway, that's all.
Well,
that's
Twitter should have bought Meerkat.
Yeah, yeah. But there are some features within the Periscope platform that are better than Meerkat, but Meerkat's just got a cooler brand and has a lot more adoption already. So
yeah. I've got it on my phone. I just haven't even used it yet and haven't found an opportunity to.
The problem with that stuff is that unfortunately the video quality is really poor and you can't really do the commenting in a browser. It all has to be done on a mobile app. You can watch the videos in a browser, but you can't interact with them. So it does have some limitations, and they're moving more towards a mobile first kind of strategy, which probably makes sense. But sometimes the videos aren't very good. Just put it to you that way. Plus they overlay all this data on top of the video. So you have like these little round photographs of everybody that's watching, right? The layers on top of it, and then you have scrolling kind of text messaging almost that's going on the screen, and you can't really see the video.
Right.
So it's kind of interesting, the whole dynamic of it.
I want to show you a little box that I just it got here while I was gone. It's from the folks from Teradek. It's called the VidiU Mini. And
what is that?
So this is a pretty cool box. It goes on top of a camera. And basically, you configure it with your, and what's cool is you can pair a couple of these, but you use this with your mobile phone to set up and configure it. You do you give it Wi-Fi, either via your mobile device or a Wi-Fi device. And then you can actually do a live stream with this. And
I see what you're saying.
Yeah.
So it takes a more professional video.
Yeah.
And can set it up. I mean, because there's been those kind of boxes before, but it sounds like that's a lot smaller.
Yeah, this is about $500. This again from Teradek, but you know, the folks from Livestream build a box, and it was called the Broadcaster, and I have a couple of those boxes too, but it's limited to Livestream. This box, I can use this with YouTube and Ustream or anybody. It can basically take this and go live on any, really almost any platform.
That sounds awesome.
Yeah. Now, if you take the big brother to this, which is about a $1,500 box, you can actually then, if you're doing a remote, you can digitally IP push it to, like a TriCaster or something, and bring it in on a IP channel, and you actually bring in someone remote. So you can be in a studio like, you know, like this, and then you can be out and about, and I could basically switch it just like I switched you, and we could see someone in the field. So this won't necessarily do this. There's other ways to work around it, but this is more designed for people that are being portable and on the go. But another piece that I picked up, and this is an experiment, what I have found over the years is that SDI cameras are very, very expensive. And sometimes you don't need a camera, like my camera that's over here in the corner of the studio. You don't need, and I just see it's still in the wrapper, you don't need a real super fancy image. You just need kind of an overview shot, almost like a security camera shot. So you can see this thing is really, you know, you look at the back, it's, you know, it's really sophisticated, but this is a little 70 a little $70 camera here. That the cool part about it is, it has SDI out. Now,
really?
For those of you that don't know what SDI is, that's a real, it's a pro video format.
Yeah.
And
So what kind of quality of video does that produce?
Probably security cam equivalent. It does put out 1080p, but I will find out. I'm going to do some
experiments. It's probably adjustable, probably via software.
Yeah,
probably.
There's a few settings on it that you can change it to.
So what's the cost on something like that?
This is like $70.
Really?
Yeah. I bought this on Alibaba.
Send me a link to that. Seriously.
So again, it's a little SDI camera.
Yeah.
And so it'll hook into any little SDI. And I'm starting to experiment with some new gear for my new site that we're launching at NAB. And just wanted to talk, show a couple of those things. But there's lots and lots of, I'm just amazed at the prices just continuing to drop on. And the thing is, this would be better than a webcam.
Well, if you think about it, I mean, look at the quality that you can get out of an iPhone now, right?
Right.
I mean, we've proven that on this show, and that's like a little tiny camera.
Yeah.
You know?
And I would almost guarantee that the camera in the iPhone is better than the camera that's in this little security camera, probably a number of magnitudes. But we'll see. We'll see. When you're live streaming, what level do you really need? Especially if it's got good lighting and a close shot.
Well, I think these days, I think you at least need to be 720p, right?
Right. But
I think you need to be at least at that level these days.
Well, in not necessarily on the stream itself, even though we do here.
You could be 640 too, right? Yeah.
But obviously the better the source video, the better the stream video. But yeah. I'm just going to be playing around with these here a little bit. And they sell this as a CCTV. But again, SDI out, which is just blows me away.
Well, it's amazing that it's only $70-some for it.
I got it shipped from China for, I don't know, nothing.
So what's the actual name of that? I'm going to write it down, too.
It's the model MT-HDM-103.
Model, say that one more time.
It's the model numbers MT-HDM-103.
HDM-103.
Yeah, and all these are using a sensor that's made by Panasonic. It's got a one-third Panasonic CMOS, and it's a 3.6-millimeter lens. On it,
it's pretty small.
Yeah, but it's pretty small. So again, a bunch of these are coming out with this Panasonic lens, and I think we've even, believe it or not, well, I won't say, but that's a pretty popular lens right now. That's pretty popular CMOS camera by Panasonic.
So what's the brand on that?
There is no brand. There is no brand, really.
Well, it's got to have a name on it or something.
No.
It doesn't?
No.
Or what's the name of the company that sells it?
I think if you search that part number, you'll find it. There is no brand.
It's coming out of China, right?
Yeah.
Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. There's no label on this thing. It just says CCTV on it. And you know what they're designed to do, Rob, there is no label on it. It's designed that they want you to buy this and say, oh, this is cool. Now let me go ahead and repackage this and put my own label on it.
Brand on it. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's again,
it's like a private label or something.
Well, it's Alibaba.
Exactly. It's their own stuff, right?
It's something that they've made and luckily I could buy one. There's a lot of times you go on and find stuff on their site that you got to buy 10, you can't buy just one. So sometimes you can find just one, but it's pretty crazy. I found a couple other things right now too that I've been sworn to secrecy on and not sharing what they are, who makes them, Because we're putting putting some packages together, you know, and you know, producer packages. So
I heard from Rick Calvert, he's having some online problems.
Okay.
So he's trying to call in as soon as he can. So you know, who knows? We may get Rick, the CEO of the New Media Expo, on the show here in the next few minutes.
So let's talk just about a couple of things that have been in the news. iTunes made an announcement, and they released the album art spec again. And So
I didn't hear about this.
You know, it seems like it wasn't that long ago that we're reporting Apple wanted us to go
like 2100 or something. You know, like that,
To 2048 by 2048. Now that was minimum 1400 by 1400 with a maximum of 2048 by 2048. Now they want you to create your cover art, which must be in JPEG or PNG format, minimum size 14 by 1400 and maximum size of 3000 by 3000.
Holy Toledo.
So here's, you know, this is what it is. Apple TV's going 4K.
4K Apple TV, yeah, that's exactly what it is. Yeah.
You know, that's got to be it. So, you know, with, you know, they've been increasing the sizes slowly, and you're thinking, what? Why? And, you know, we know that within the iTunes infrastructure that they have like three or four different album arts that they basically take your master, then they make.
Yeah, they downscale them.
They downscale them to whatever size. And they, you know, they make physical copies of the images and downscale them. So we will see where they lead with this. But, 3,000 by 3,000 is. And here's my, you know, people are like, oh my God, I have to do 3,000 by 3,000. I still have a lot of my stuff at 1,400 by 1,400. But it might be advisable to go to that 3K by 3K. And it just is going, I think it'll, as much as you, some folks won't want to do this, it will more than likely be a good investment for you to do that. And you save it in JPEG. Don't save your 3K by 3K and PNG and put it up on the website. You know, save your major raster, but then create a JPEG just from a size standpoint.
Yeah, I find that creating PNGs is, there's so many different formats and not all of them are compatible with every system.
And that's
what I've noticed.
But I think too is the PNG file is obviously much, much bigger. And
yeah, that's right.
If you save a nice quality JPEG, you're going to be fine from a
it's going to display everywhere.
Yeah.
Easily. Yeah. Where so, PNGs, it's like, yeah.
Hey, one thing I do want to talk about, and last week I got on a tangent, and a little bit unfairly so. Tom Webster over at Edison had put out a report, and I don't have that link to that page, but I misread his chart, and he had basically a, was what was the ranges, Rob? It was 13 to 20... 5 or 24?
Yeah, it was like 13 to I think 21, and I think like 21 to 24.
Well, yeah,
there was
three ranges.
I don't remember. Yeah.
And I said there's no way that there is that many young people listening that it, you know, I thought that it was, this was the percentage of that group that was listening to podcasts. And it wasn't what the chart showed, and what I completely, and I was 100% wrong, was that chart showed the percentage of just that age group only.
Yeah.
That had listened to a podcast in the last month. So there wasn't a, of 100, it was, from that, let's say 13 to 25, 24% of 13 to 25 year olds had listened to a podcast in the last 30 days, and then it was like 25 to 55 or whatever the number was, 23% had listened to a podcast in the last 50 days, and then 55 up was something like 13% in the last 30 days. That wasn't a percentage of that particular group, and it took like Tom like an hour of like beating on me saying, no, it's, you're reading the chart wrong, to me finally like, oh, yeah, that was stupid. And So my apologies to Tom, because I was like, where are they getting those numbers? That's wrong. And it wasn't fair that I read the chart wrong. So it's my fault. So I just wanted to, I should have done that at the beginning of the show. I forgot to make that disclaimer, but
So each of those age groups had their own populations in them.
Right.
And that was the share of those populations. Each of those populations has a huge difference in total listeners.
Right. So it was 24 of 100, 23 of 100. And it wasn't, because if I had just read the chart, added it up on the bottom, I would have said that doesn't equal 100.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, and Tom actually wanted to be on the show today to talk about the whole study.
Right.
And he's going to come on like in a future week here to go through it all and get clarification. And he 100% agreed, because I talked to him on the phone, that chart could easily be misunderstood, and that he saw others kind of misunderstand it too. So I think that there was some recognition on their part that sometimes these studies, unless you really fully understand the context of what they were trying to find out and how it was structured, it can be misinterpreted. Go ahead, Todd.
But on the other side of this, so let's flip this around. You know, last week I was like freaking out.
Yeah.
It's a good thing.
Oh, it is. No, it's all good.
Yeah. It's a really good thing. Yeah. You know, and it's like, you know, here I am going from being a jerk last week, you know, and in my defense, I was thinking of it this other way.
Yeah. Well, it was different than what you see in the numbers.
And right.
I agree. It's, you know, these numbers are pretty consistent across what I see. You know, I've seen in Podcast One, I've seen in the iTunes kind of site manager tools. Even Christensen sent us an email giving us some follow-up on this topic based on his four shows that Chris does, you know, the Amateur Traveler show, that has, I mean, he's got a good audience number, so he's pulling in. I don't know how appealing his show is to young people, but just based on the numbers that he shared, he's got about 10% of his audience, or over 10% of his audience are under 25.
And
so,
that's in line. But going back to the Edison study, it bodes well for us for a couple of reasons. It should scare the living crap out of major media to them thinking that this age group now is starting to pick this content up and shifting from their stuff. Now, I know how my daughter, you know, my oldest daughter, and even my 18-year-old here in the house, she's on her laptop. She doesn't come in the living room and watch TV. Mm-hmm. You know, she's Netflixing. She's on her phone. She's not watching major brand stuff. Matter of fact, right now she loves Korean dramas. So she watches all that online. And so they have to be understanding that this, from the here on out, and, you know, not even here on out, for we're going to see this group as a group as it gets older.
It's going to move through this chain, and I think that those numbers are going to grow. And, you know, I've always said about this whole topic area is that the good thing about millennials is they get older.
That's right.
And as they get older, they will change just like we did. You know, when I was their age, I wasn't into listening to long form educational type content, or even audio in general. It was all about music.
Yep.
It was all about, you know, just like you just say, is music and probably music videos on YouTube, and kind of following their popular teen star on YouTube. But I think that will transition. They will become, you know, public radio listeners. They'll become all those, you know, more, you know, educationally kind of geared towards, as the brain matures, it craves that kind of content more.
Yep.
So I mean, I think that this trend line, if we're getting 10% of that group already plugged into this stuff, I think that's kind of a sign that, you know, some of those people are a little bit more mature for their age. but that the rest of the 90% will get there eventually.
Well, remember, that's 10% that are listening on a consistent basis. The 24% yes. that said they had listened to at least one.
Yeah, that's true.
That's even better.
Because they've dipped their toe in the water, right?
Right.
Yeah. So that leads into more, and this is going to be driven, and I know there's more talk about other genres of content and coming into the space that will appeal to that millennial group, right? And I think that's part of the transitional glue that needs to happen. And another conversation that I heard pop up kind of on the radio side is that a lot of the kind of radio consultants are realizing that radio stations haven't really been targeting millennials either with what they're doing. They tend to cater to older people.
Yep.
For broadcast radio. And there's this kind of feeling that, well, radio's losing millennials. Well, radio's never really focused on millennials because, honestly, millennials don't really have a lot of money, right? So it's really going after where the money is. And as these millennials get older, then they become a much more appealing target for content and advertising. So there's multiple things at play here, and I think a lot of people get kind of freaked out because the millennials aren't listening to podcasts as much, and I think it's a mistake.
Well, and if I just look at my youth, at the time, when I had joined the Navy, and I was actually doing some DJ stuff, and it was before CDs were on the scene, and they were just starting. I mean, not initially, but this would have been, oh my God, I'm showing myself here, 84, 85, 86 time frame. What was big then was 12-inch singles, LPs.
Yeah.
And even today, I have it's in storage somewhere. I have an incredible collection of 12-inch singles, probably 1,000 albums. And was I interested in what was going on in the world? Yeah, maybe.
Oh no.
But let's be honest. Why do you do the DJ stuff? It's to get, it's to hook up with the girls. That was what it was all about.
Yeah.
It wasn't about, different priorities.
Well, and it was pretty advanced stuff to be playing with 8-tracks back then too, as I recall.
Oh, that was we were beyond 8-tracks. Now come on, Rob. We were 8-tracks was like high school time,
Yeah, that's true.
Oh, my God. Oh. But, and if you thought about who listens to AM radio, that was what your dad listened to. That wasn't what, we wouldn't be caught dead listening to that.
Well, and I think today it's safe to say that AM radio is pretty much dead.
Well, AM and talk radio is not dead.
I see a lot of talk radios moving over to FM.
Here in Hawaii, there's no talk radio on FM. It's still on AM.
Oh, it's still on AM?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, all of it is. Yeah. I don't think.
Yeah, here in the Seattle market, I would say that at least half of the talk stations are now on FM.
So those guys that are the Rush and the Hannity's are on FM in Seattle? Wow.
Yeah.
Oh, that's interesting. So, I didn't know that.
Well, it's all about quality, right?
Well, I've been here in Hawaii. We're 10 years behind or something.
I don't care about quality over there. No. No, if you can just get the content. I mean, if you get a decent AM radio, it can sound okay.
Not for music. Come on.
No. I'm talking about music. I'm talking about talk.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Who cares about music?
So, let's see here. There was a big radio guy, and I'll be honest with you, I don't know who he is.
Let me pull up his information.
He basically there's a new group.
Stephen Goldstein.
Stephen Goldstein.
Yep.
And he's launched a another media company called Amplify, and Amplify Media. They don't have any shows yet or anything. So it looks like this is in very early stage of development. Got some radio press, though.
Yep.
A radio press with no... It's kind of interesting. No shows, no major, people is aligned with them yet, but yet they went, the radio folks went crazy over this guy's making this move.
Well, he's a... a known entity in the radio business for creating content, creating radio shows, right? So he spent years working at the NBC radio network and the ABC radio network, and most recently Sega Communications as executive vice president and program and group program director for the companies since 1986 or so. So
it's all about the content.
That's what this guy's about. And so he's decided, kind of like what Norm Pattiz did from Podcast One, that he's going to jump into the on-demand space and start creating some content. And podcasts is his target, you know.
Is this his retirement project?
Well,
I don't know how old this gentleman is.
He's probably in his 60s.
Interesting.
So, yeah.
Here's a picture of him. Doesn't look like he's that. He's maybe in his 50s. Doesn't look like he's that old. So,
well, yeah, I'm just guessing.
Yeah. But he does have some serious street cred. So, we'll see where this goes. We'll see what he has to, what he puts out on the street. And then a company that many people are familiar with, more for YouTube than anything else, but BuzzFeed has announced that they're going to jump into the podcast frenzy, and a couple of shows, Another Round and BuzzFeed's Internet Explorer. Although I went over to the Another Round podcast.com website and I'm like, all right, how do I subscribe? You know, so let's go over and look at the newest episode, and nowhere on here can I find a place to subscribe to their show. So
it looks like they have a streaming player on their website, so at least they're doing that, so at least you can get to the content, but you can't subscribe. And I mean, like Todd, you've been saying for years, this is a common rookie error for people that are just getting into podcasting. They just don't understand the dynamics of how an audience wants to connect with the program.
There's no place on this site that has. Oh. Well, I guess they will learn.
Well, or not. And depends on, you know, how much they're actually paying attention to the space and what works.
And actually hovering over their download link, and it's really not even a download link. It's tied to their player, so yeah.
Oh, is it like triggering a pop-up or something? Yeah, or let's you see. Know, so what's the action when you click on it?
Oh, it does download.
Oh, okay. Oh, it's just a direct download. Okay. Yeah.
And the naming sequence on it is horrible. Oh my god, 224.288.mp3. Yeah, they could use some consultation.
So there's no place to click on the like an RSS feed or anything
Nothing.
Like that?
Oh, they got the Instagram and they got the Twitter stuff on here. But no, there's no place.
Or any mention of iTunes anywhere either.
Nowhere.
Well, that's a big mistake.
Yeah.
And it probably doesn't even talk about an app either. I mean, I can't imagine that BuzzFeed's building this into their app.
So I guess I'm confused. But yet they got huge press in the Wall Street Journal about their,
they're also using SoundCloud, it looks like.
Well, not on their main website, they're not.
No, but on if you go to BuzzFeed.com, they're doing a share of that episode using SoundCloud of the Another Round show.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Yeah, I also heard in the news today, this past week, that there's more information starting to come out about Spotify adding podcasts.
Uh-huh.
And what was really interesting about the news, if you drill down into it deeper, is that they are planning on, and this is a concept I've thought about for years, is having one kind of series program in a catalog that gives you the option to watch or listen to the audio or watch video. And it sounds like what Spotify may be doing is enabling in their platform the ability to do both with one show. So so you have one podcast listing that has an option of viewing the podcast or getting access to the video side, and then also listening just to the audio side, which I thought was really interesting because most people, up to this point, a lot of people are just ignoring video podcasting. But it does kind of make me wonder if maybe they're moving towards maybe a model, and this may be the better approach, would be to enable, it's more like what we do here, have an audio podcast, but have a way to get access to the video version of it, right? Or some related version of it. Could be a shorter piece from the program or that would be pulling off of YouTube. So I don't know. They weren't specific on how they were going to actually deliver this, because very few podcasts these days are doing video like we do here. Though I would say it's been up to this point, the history has been it's around 20% of podcasts are video podcasts. Yeah, well, is that what you're seeing in your numbers, Todd?
Yeah, I couldn't give you a number at this point. I haven't pulled any data recently, so.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, it's some homework stuff I've got for Angelo for our session at New Media Expo. I think the thing about Spotify, though, is it's 100% app-based. They don't have a directory or anything. So
But they probably will, is what I'm saying.
Well, if they don't already for their music,
where are they going to get it? It's the next question, right?
Yeah, why would they? Where they're going to get it. That's interesting. So what is it? Was this something in the news that you saw, or?
Yeah, I believe it was an article that appeared in Tech Meme about leaks that have been coming out about the next version of Spotify. And Spotify is based in Stockholm, Sweden. So there's been a lot of rumors that have been bubbling around Spotify adding podcasts as a way to more compete with iTunes Radio. I think that's who those guys are competing against. I think a lot of the big players in that side of the space have kind of given up on Pandora, trying to beat them. So what they're trying to do is beat back Apple from taking over that number two spot from Spotify, which Spotify currently occupies.
Well, I think I'm going to be the lone man standing in the United States with a podcasting company. It's all over.
Yeah, that's true, because Stitcher did go to Deezer, and Deezer is not necessarily a U.S. company. So
Libsyn's owned by a Chinese company. Podbean's a Chinese company. Let's see here. We've got Spreaker that is in
Berlin.
Stitcher.
Actually, they're kind of a virtual company. They're in the U.S. And in Europe.
Well, they originated there. SoundCloud is in Berlin.
Yeah. Todd, it's a global market for podcasting.
Yeah.
But a lot of the kind of higher end kind of business technology companies that are in this space are, I think a lot of them are US based.
Yeah. It's interesting.
So yeah.
Oh, last man standing type of thing here.
I guess so, Todd.
Oh, it's funny. It's just, I don't know.
There's a lot riding on your shoulders, Todd.
Well, no, I just wish, that it's just interesting that there is a lot of foreign investment in podcasting, but very little U.S.-based investment in podcasting.
I guess there's been too many U.S. investors have been burned, I guess.
Well, I guess Podcast One's a U.S.-based company, so I shouldn't say.
That's true.
Yeah,
that's true.
So.
That's true, and all their back-end technology is all U.S.-based.
So, I guess them and us, but, their model's a little bit different than ours. So, going after the celebs.
It's more of a content company.
Yeah. Right.
Yep.
And but anyway, it's cool. A lot of stuff going on. That's with Spotify. Then you got these folks with BuzzFeed and then Amplify. So that's, it's a lot of news. Two major things in a week. That just continues to show that there is huge, huge attention. And I'm getting bombarded now by the press wanting to come talk to us at New Media Expo, because they're, and I'm sure the other podcasting companies are too, that are going to be there, because of the, you know, the space on fire and these journalists will all be in town. So, it's, I guess it's a good time to talk with people. So we'll see how much news we can generate out of NMX. And matter of fact, I was working on one of two major press releases we're going to be doing, and going back and forth to make sure the messaging is right and that we meet the goals that we're trying to obtain. And it's, you know, when you go to, I think what podcasters need to understand is that it's a big investment to go to NMX with a team. We're probably going to spend...
Oh, especially Vegas,
you know,
that convention center.
Right. Yeah. You know, we're probably $15,000 to $20,000 investment to cover that show with, you know, hotel, airfares, food, you know, the price of the booth, all that stuff. By the time you're done, you're, you know, you're $20,000 in. And believe me, I am a very big believer in seeing a return on that investment. We, you know, we want to be able to generate 2, 3, 4 times that in revenue from that show. Otherwise, then you have to really consider where you're going to, you know, put your money in your marketing budget the following year. And, so I have high hopes for this show. I have high hopes for Podcast Movement as well going in there, because it's a direct, you know, direct connection with the show. And there's a lot of people making moves in space. So it's, keeping us all on tip of our toes moving forward.
Yeah. I think a lot of, there's just so much momentum coming from the online radio biz side now. That's what's really, to me, that's what's really changed a lot. You know, the whole Rain Summit thing is a really fascinating example of that. It wouldn't surprise me if we get some more action from Mr. Dan Rayburn from the Streaming Media West Conference at some point in this space. I mean, he used to be involved, you know, in really... Yeah, I used to host a streaming radio show for that, you know, for Dan, who's been on this show before. But I could see that conference getting involved in this too. And then there's the whole New Media Europe event that's coming up. There's just a lot of activity going on in this space, no question.
Yeah. Well, I don't think Rick's gonna get in. Doesn't look like.
Doesn't look like it.
No.
Yeah.
And I don't want to drag things out if we're running out of content here today. What do you think the big takeaways from NMX are going to be?
I'm really curious about what's going to happen between the integration of those two conferences or those two events. If a lot of the people that go to the National Association of Broadcasters event will see, you know, coming over and spending time with the new media side is worth their time to do because of all the trend lines that they're seeing happen in this space, and how packed those meeting rooms are going to be with people coming over from the NAB. You know, I got the impression from the New Media Expo folks that they're doing okay on their registration side, and they expect to see more people registering for the New Media Expo than they have in the past. So, but I'm just curious to, you know, about the integration and how that's going to impact the whole New Media Expo side. It doesn't, the kind of booth exhibit area for the New Media Expo is not that huge when you compare it to the whole, you know, the whole event. It's pretty small, but it's always been small. So it's pretty consistent. It may be even a little bigger than it was last year. I don't know. I mean, you were more involved in it last year. So would you say it's about the same, or?
To be honest with you, I was so involved in, involved in the CES stuff. Angelo kind of took care of things
last year.
Right? Yeah. So I really don't have a, you know, apples oranges type of idea how
it seems comparable. But,
and I know that it looks like they expanded a little bit.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I guess we'll see.
Yeah. But it doesn't look like there's, so I'm not sure what's going on in the podcast lounge part. It seems to be a big piece of the expo.
Yeah.
And it hasn't been clear to me. Has that been clear to you? What's going on in the podcast lounge?
I know that Gadget Professor is going to be doing some live stuff. I know there's going to be live over there, but I don't know how many groups are doing live and doing shows. I know that.
How does that work over there? I mean, they giving free access to the internet to do live stuff?
We'd have to ask Rick on how they're doing that, but I know that, basically Don shows up and does interviews, and they have the gear there for him to do that.
Oh, okay. Interesting. Yeah, because I'm actually bringing down a bunch of gear for the speaker booth, my own personal gear, to do the whole live streaming thing down there.
Right.
So I have some of the equipment that I use to do this show with you, I'm bringing down there.
Right.
And I'm going to get, an internet connection in the booth in there and that kind of stuff.
Right.
Because I'm fully expecting that show is not going to have very good wireless internet access.
It'll work okay in your MiFi. They've done Cox has done a pretty good job in there. They've come in and revamped that completely, and we've had no problem with connectivity in that show for 2 years in a row or in that convention center.
On the wireless side? So weren't you using a hardwire?
Yeah, we were using a hardwire. Yeah.
Yeah.
And we were pretty successful with that hardwired, but I haven't heard complaints out of there.
It's expensive. It's
$2,000.
Yeah. Just 4 days of access.
Yep. Yeah, that's the captive audience. So that's what they do.
Yeah. Exactly.
And if you don't have wired, if you're on wireless doing streaming, forget it.
Yeah.
You might get lucky, but who knows?
Well, I'm sure you'll stay up for a while, but you'll invariably come down.
Well, it's they're not as heavy of a, we'll see. And again, I got to give Cox where credit is due. Cox has done a pretty good job. So,
how many years have they been doing it there? You think
they're in 2 years. They replaced.
Oh, really? That's all.
Well, they replaced the previous vendor who was horrible. I got what I paid for. You get what you pay for there. They deliver. Unlike the smart city that was in before that didn't deliver. You would pay for a 3 meg up, 3 meg down connection, and you were lucky if you get 500K. When I went with Cox came in and you paid for your connection, you got what you paid for.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then some. So it was. I've never had. Can't say nothing. Yeah, really, the Cox Business Group there really has done a great job. And that's, I'm sure, part of the reason why that Smart City is no longer in there. Thank God.
Yeah, yeah. Hey, so the nomination or the voting for the podcast awards?
Yeah, I guess it's over.
Closed already, right?
Yeah.
So all of the votes are in?
So they should know who the winners are.
Yeah. They should, shouldn't they?
Yes, they should. It doesn't take very long to. All right, and they've got the announcement up here on the website. Whoops, they've got the announcement up that Dennis Miller and Emily Rose. Oh, that's interesting. They got some of my stuff still in there. I need to. Oh my God, I need to go in there. Never mind. the template's been updated to a certain extent.
Has it now?
Yeah. I need to go in and edit a couple things in their template.
Like what?
It's got like promo codes for my GoDaddy stuff in there.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, okay. It's all right. I'll fix that for him.
Oh, there you go.
The whole page. Read down below, and you'll notice that there's some stuff that probably shouldn't be in there.
Okay.
Oh, boy. Okay, that's all cool.
All right.
Well, anyway, let's get out of here. And
get out of here?
Yeah. I don't really have anything else to talk about. Do you?
Well, we're just winging it.
And I don't want to bore people. I think unless Rick shows up, I don't think we've got anything else to talk about today. Okay. And what we'll do is I know you've got a bunch of people that want to come on in the next couple of weeks. And the we've got, what, two shows left before the fourth. And actually, we've got one show left.
Is all we have. Yeah.
So are you going to try to stack a bunch of people in next Saturday or?
Yeah, no, I'm going to do the best I can with that.
Okay.
To try and, I don't know, is there any kind of desire to try and do a show now and then midweek?
We can talk about that because unfortunately I don't get back from Vegas until the 19th. So that's actually going to put us out 2 weeks, and I don't really want to go that long.
So are you leaving early on the 11th? Is that when you're leaving?
I fly out the 10th.
Oh, the 10th.
Yeah. Okay. And then after the show, then I'm having meetings in Vegas Friday and Saturday, the 17th and 18th. And then I come back on the 19th. Although, you know, basically the players are there. So they just want to, you know, they're going to stay and going to be having meetings on both those days following the show. So I don't actually fly home until Sunday the 19th. But we could, we're going to be doing a show at the show that week. And so we can put that out, the recording from that event. We put that out on Saturday the 18th. From our session, we could put that out as our.
So should I try and get that recorded separately?
Well, I think they're going to be doing that, but we should ask for that copy immediately.
Yeah.
Hopefully they will let us have that and we'll be able to put that out on Saturday the 18th. If nothing else, we'll record it. If I have to, I'll record it there at the table, audio only. Which may not work out 100% because it probably won't be as good as we want it to be.
Yeah, I could set up a little kind of recorder on the floor in front of us or something like that. But yeah, you're right. That wouldn't be as good.
Yeah. Just have to ask Rick and his team for the recording of it.
Yeah. I'd love to have you come by and spend a few minutes on my live stream too.
Yeah, that would be fine.
Okay.
But
I think we're going to be really close to each other's booths, so it's just right around the corner.
Yeah, but maybe we can figure something out. Maybe we can do a couple interviews there during the week, and we can use that as some content too. So get some people together and do some live and do some interviews.
Okay,
and we'll get enough content to keep everyone satisfied because of my stupid schedule.
Well, there's going to be a lot going on there. The whole IAB meeting.
Yep.
For the podcast metrics is happening on, I believe, Monday.
Yep, the 13th.
The 13th, right? It's going to be like in mid-afternoon or something like that from what I keep hearing.
Yep.
So I don't know if that's going to be an open thing.
Mm-mm.
No?
No, the IAB members can go, but I think they're trying to limit it to in scope to the coneheads.
The coneheads.
You know, to the geeks, to the tech folks.
Yeah, that may be hard to limit it to that. I don't know. There's going to be people there that are going to care about what happens there that may not be geek heads.
Well, hopefully they will be quiet.
Todd, you could always wish on a lucky star. But
well, yeah. I'm not going. Angela's going.
Oh, you're not going either?
No. It's again, this is a meeting. It was designed specifically for the tech folks.
Oh, okay.
You know, it's what it's supposed to be. It's supposed to be.
I thought you were a tech folk. Yeah.
I'm
pulling your teeth.
Angelo's the guy. He's got the magic sauce. So
he's got the magic sauce.
He does. He's the one that designed all the filters and everything that we use.
Oh.
So okay.
That makes sense.
Yeah. You know, so no one can talk to it better than he can. And it's, in my opinion, it's not going to be a. It better not turn into a political meeting. It should turn into an informational.
No, I think that's clearly the intent. It's going to turn into a, you know, let's put up the core methods on the wall and I'll talk about them and prioritize them, right? And figure out, you know, are we all on board with this? Are we all, you know, where's the differences? Where, I mean, how can we make this all standard?
Because if you get the folks in there that have been arguing, it's not going to accomplish anything. And I'm not saying that I've been one of the folks arguing, but I'm just saying that the folks with agendas need to be out of the room.
Yeah.
And everyone, every company there has an agenda. My agenda is to protect the podcasters. That's my agenda. You know, is to make sure that the podcasters are represented and that the big companies are coming into the space don't come in with some wild idea on counting by twos or threes or fours or fives or sixes. Because in the end, counting in digital is 1 + 1 = 2. And, we'll see. We'll see how it all ends up. And I'm sure there's going to be people that aren't going to be happy coming out of that meeting.
Yeah. Well, I think here over the next few weeks after the event, I'm going to bring on a whole series of guests that are going to kind of, there's going to be a lot of areas of this that we're going to explore and talk about. And, you know, I'm sure we can bring on Angelo and bring on people that were at that meeting to talk about what happened there.
Yeah. Well, I'm sure Angelo will be happy to come in and talk about it. And, you know, we're already, for a better word, you know, doing printouts and building examples. And we're going to come in with anecdotal evidence that shows why things have to be done a certain way. And
And
then
needs to happen.
And then if someone says otherwise, then they're going to have to prove that their methodology is correct.
Yeah. So are you going to bring in like, big slides or something like that you can throw up on some board?
I don't think so. I think we'll bring up, maybe that's what we'll end up having to be. I don't know how deep in the weeds this is going to be, but we're going to have a packet of stuff.
Yeah. Okay.
So, I think they got 3 hours scheduled for the meeting. So,
jeez.
Yeah, I don't expect this to be a short event, you know, short session.
As well as it shouldn't be, probably.
Yeah.
There's a lot of issues to, a lot of methodologies, I guess, to cover.
Well, there's really not that many methodologies, but just as long as I think what we're worried about, and the main thing is if other companies are filtering, that's fine. You know, if they're filtering out the bogus stuff, then I don't think there's anyone's going to have a problem with other people's methodologies.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of groups that I don't feel are doing any filtering. So,
yeah.
So we'll see.
Yes, we shall.
And if Apple shows up to the meeting, even better.
I don't believe Apple will be there.
Well, that's not good.
Yeah. I heard that. One of the guys from Apple is on maternity leave.
Uh-huh.
And the other one is he can't make it this year. So I don't think that's going to happen this year.
Oh, that's too bad. We were hoping they would show up.
Yeah. Yeah. But anyway, that's just what I've heard so far. I don't know if that is going to change as we get closer or not. I'm not sure.
Right. But, okay.
All right.
Well, anyway, you guys know there's a lot of stuff moving here. And just so the audience understands, there is movement afoot, that I feel personally responsible making sure that podcasters are, you know, basically, and I think Rob Walsh over at Libsyn and Mark Mercury over at PodTrack will agree that we're trying to keep the podcasters' best interests at heart and making sure that, commercial entities that are joining the space, do not derail up to this point, has not been an issue. The only people that have an issue with podcast metrics are those that don't have it. And they're trying to make up their own rules as we move forward. And we're not going to allow it to happen. Not without a fight. And again, we're open to listening to other people's ideas, but at the same time, it has to be reasonable. I think that's what we're all looking for.
So, yeah, I haven't heard from Mark in a while. I mean, is he going to be at the New Media Expo?
I can't imagine him not being.
Yeah, I haven't heard yet. He's been really quiet lately.
And Mark's always quiet, so he just shows. Yeah. That's what kind of way Mark is. So
yeah, that's true.
All right. We'll be back with you folks here next Saturday. Same time, same channel at newmediashow.com/live. And it's going to be exciting. We're going to have Robbie. I saw that list. I'm excited about the upcoming guest. I just got to keep me home long enough so that we can do this show or find a way to do it when I'm remote.
I think we've had a good lineup of guests here over the last few weeks anyway. Yeah. And there's a few folks on this list that I'm going after a lot of these folks haven't really been exposed to the community and hopefully that's what this show, that's what my goal with this show is, to expose people to other parts of the community that maybe they don't normally get to communicate with or hear from.
Yeah.
So that's my goal anyway.
All right. Send us emails, Todd or Rob at newmediashow.com. That's a email address. You can reach me on Twitter at Geek News, correspond Facebook, Google Plus as well. Rob, you're at?
At Rob Greenlee with two E's at the end on Twitter and at robgreenlee.com and Podcast One and Spreaker.com and all these places that I'm consulting with today in my kind of new world of jumping back in and being kind of more broad scope in the industry now. So
you got a lot of your hands in the pots, a lot of things, Rob. We're going to have to maybe put you on the restricted access list.
Todd, that wouldn't be fair.
Well, having all types of ties into multiple companies, that could we'll have to be careful here. We could be sleeping with a spy. We don't know. I'm just kidding.
Oh yeah, no, I totally look like a spy, right? Yeah, I come on this show and bare all. I'll open my T-shirt, right?
Just kidding, having fun with you.
No, I know you are. Yeah.
All right. Hey, everyone, thanks for being here, and we'll see you next Saturday. Everyone, take care.
And, okay.
Yep, bye-bye.
Bye.